to worship with you today. I want to speak to you on the topic of communion. Communion. That's why we are having the sermon first and then communion later. Communion is also referred to as the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. So I'm going to use the two terms interchangeably throughout this sermon. Jesus Christ, our Lord, left us with two very important ordinances that he has instructed us, his followers, to obey. One being communion, one being baptism, right? Communion and baptism. Now, while baptism is an ordinance that is to be observed by the believer only one time in his life, right? You only need to get baptized one time to communicate that you are a believer. However, communion is an ordinance that is to be observed repeatedly throughout a Christian's life. Repeatedly. Would you agree with me that when something is done repeatedly, on a regular basis, every month, there's a tendency that something becomes simply a ritual and it, over time, loses its meaning and significance. Once upon a time, true story, there was an emperor who loved his wife so very much. However, the wife passed away during childbirth. He was devastated, for he loved her so much. So he decided, to construct a temple as her tomb to remember her. Well, her coffin was placed in the center of this big piece of land, and construction of the temple began around this coffin. No expense would be spared to make this temple magnificent because it's for his wife, his beloved wife. But as the weeks turned into months, months turned into years, the emperor's grief was eclipsed by his passion for the project. The construction project consumed all his heart and desires. He no longer mourned for her absence. One day, while walking from one side of the construction site to the other, he bumped into a wooden box. He looked down. He was like, "What is that?" He brushed the dust on his leg, and he ordered the workers to throw out the box. What he didn't know was that he had just ordered the disposal of the coffin of his beloved wife, now forgotten, hidden beneath layers and layers of dust and time. How ironic, isn't it? That the very reason why the temple was built in the first place, now forgotten. The meaning and the significance have been lost over time. It is very possible that if we're not careful, if the Christians are not careful, we would also make the same mistake and we would miss the true meaning of communion. Oh yes, we observe it every month, but over time, it can lose its meaning and significance. So today is Communion Sunday, the first week, first Sunday of the month. How appropriate it is for us to be reminded of the true meaning of communion, and let's pray that God would use today's sermon, 20, 25 minutes, to prepare our hearts for communion. Amen? All right, so with that in mind, let's read today's passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 29. 23 to 29. Now, I would like us to read in English from 23 to 26, and then from 27 to 29, we will read in Mandarin. Okay, here we go, 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." 27节,
所以无论何人不按理吃主的饼喝主的杯就是摊贩主的身主的血了人应当自己审查然后吃这饼喝这杯因为人吃喝若不分辨是主的身体就是吃喝自己的罪了
May God bless the reading of his word. The outline for today's message is the four key words from today's passage. Four key words. First word is remembrance. Communion is a time to remember something. Proclaim. It's a time for us to proclaim something. Coming together. God wants us to see that we should live in love and unity. And lastly, examine. It's a time to examine ourselves before God. I really believe that God has an important message for all of us today. Let's look at the first point. Remembrance. Communion is a time to remember. Verse 24, 25. Jesus says, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus established the communion so that whenever we observe it, we would remember. We would remember. Now, what is it exactly that Jesus wants us to remember? Now, I want to show you a passage where it talks about communion, the Lord's Supper. Jesus had ordered his disciples to go and prepare the Last Supper, the communion. So, Matthew 26, 17. It says, "On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?'" Passover. Do you see that the Lord's Supper took place during the Jewish Passover? Now, Passover is very important to the Jews because it's a time for them to remember, right? To remember what God has done for them to deliver them out of Egypt. We all know the story. God's judgment was coming to judge the entire land of Egypt. The angel of death would come to slaughter every firstborn in the family. But God had a plan for his people. He prepared a way of salvation. So the night before the judgment came, the Israelites got their families together. They chose a lamb that was unblemished, and they slaughtered the lamb, ate the lamb, they painted the lamb's blood on the doorpost. Can we show the next slide? They painted the blood on the doorpost. So the angel of death, when he came and he saw the blood on their doorpost, he would pass over to the next household. Pass over. And see, that's exactly what happened. Those households who had blood on it, their lives were spared. They were delivered from God's wrath and judgment because of the lamb, the sacrificial lamb. And so, let's go to the next slide. So right here, Jesus, we find Jesus and his disciples once again observing the Passover meal, but this time, Jesus, he took the bread, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." By the way, if this is a movie, if we're watching a movie, now the music would be really loud because this is the climax. Jesus took the cup saying, "And this is my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Right now, the disciples, they're connecting the dots. They're figuring out what Jesus is trying to say. Jesus is trying to say, "I am that sacrificial lamb. And it's through my death, it's through my body broken, through my blood being poured out, you would have salvation." And so, that is the message. Just like the Israelites were instructed to keep observing the Passover meal, to remember and never forget what God has done for them to save them out of slavery, we are instructed to keep observing the communion, to remember and never forget what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to show you a few verses from the Bible that speaks of Jesus as the sacrificial lamb. Look at Isaiah 53, 5 to 7. Can we read it together? First time in English, second time in Mandarin. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned into our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth." Next slide. 好,一起读.
那只他为我们的过受伤害，为我们的罪孽感伤，因他受的刑罚，我们得平安；因他受的鞭伤，我们得医治。我们都如羊走迷，个人偏行自路。耶和华使我们众人的罪孽都归在他身上。 他被耶稣亚在死的时候却不开口，他像羊羔被牵到杀子地，又像羊在剪毛的人手下无声，他也是这样不开口。Jesus
is the lamb, the sacrificial lamb. Let's look at the next verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Jesus, in him, we might become the righteousness of God." It's very clear, isn't it? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Today, if there's anyone who has not acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you that you would open your heart and accept Jesus, for he is your sacrificial lamb. Through his sacrifice, you can have eternal life. Every time we observe the Lord's Supper, remember the very words of Jesus Christ. Whenever you eat this bread, drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Let's look at the second point, proclaim. When we take the communion, we are proclaiming something. We are making a statement of our faith in Jesus. When we come together to observe the Lord's Supper, it's kind of like we are all invited by Jesus. We are sharing the table with Jesus. We're having supper, right? Supper with Jesus. Now, in the Bible, the term eating, the idea of eating is very important because eating means intimate fellowship. Intimate fellowship. Jesus said, Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. He who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat. I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You see, there's a very special relationship there. Jesus talking about fellowship, intimate relationship. So when we are observing the Lord's Supper, we are making a statement. We have a special intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We belong to God through Jesus. Look at a very interesting Bible verse, where if you read this Bible on its own, this verse, it does not make sense. Look at John chapter 6, 53 to 54. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What are you talking about, Jesus? Drink your blood? Eat your flesh? Are you crazy? What are you talking about? But when you look at it from the point of communion, it makes total sense. That's why verse 26 says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming something. You are proclaiming the death of the Lord until he comes. So my brothers and sisters, God is saying, when you observe communion, proclaim it. Let the world see. Let the world know that you have a special relationship with me, that you belong to me, that you are saved by my Son, Jesus Christ. See, when we're doing this, we are making a statement of our Christian faith. Now, speaking of the word supper, there is another supper at the end of time. The Bible tells us it's the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That at the end of time, when Jesus comes, we are all, those of us who belong to him, will be sharing a banquet with Jesus called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And by coming to the table right now to partake in the Lord's Supper, it's a foreshadow for us that in the future, one day, we will be partaking in the great marriage supper of the Lamb. See, communion belongs to those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And so today, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Don't take it, because you will be making a mockery of what we're doing here. But I would love to encourage you that you will quickly receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, so that you can partake the Lord's Supper with us today. Not only that, one day you will partake in the supper, the great marriage supper of the Lamb, one day when Jesus comes. Number three, key words, coming together. Coming together. We have to ask ourselves this question. Why did Jesus talk about communion? What's going on around that time? What is the context that Jesus brought up this topic of communion? Why did Jesus do that? Well, look at verse 17. Starting verse 17. Your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. There was division in the church of Corinth. The church was divided. There's disunity in the church. And there's an attitude of uncaring and unloving and self-centeredness. Look at verse 20 and 21. Paul says, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? How many of you think Paul is not happy right now, right? He's very upset with the Corinthians because they don't love each other. They're inconsiderate of each other. They dislike each other. And verse 3, it says, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. So, see, these verses tell us the Lord's Supper, at that time in 1 Corinthians, they have instituted the Lord's Supper in such a way that it's like a love feast. Like everybody would come together and enjoy a big feast together. Now, remember, back in those days, people were very, very poor. They did not have much. So by able to come together and have a huge feast like that, it was a treat. It was something that people looked forward to. However, some people were selfish. They were inconsiderate. They treated the Lord's Supper as all-you-can-eat buffet. All-you-can-eat. Now, I don't know about you, but when you go eat at an all-you-can-eat buffet, you do not go full, right? No. I know some people, they starve. They starve themselves. And then they show up at the all-you-can-eat buffet, and then they eat so much. Got to get your money's worth, right? Chinese people? Yeah, I mean, you eat so much that you don't have to eat again the rest of the day. So these people, they were approaching the Lord's Supper that way. They treat it like all you can eat. They pile so much food on their plates. They fill themselves up first. People at the end, they don't get anything. Well, they only get the mac and cheese and the casseroles, which is, nobody wants that anyways, right? Like a church potluck. Okay, so that's a joke. All right, so people who filled themselves up so much, they drank so much that they got drunk. Can you believe that? People did not care about each other. They were looking out for themselves. There was no love. There was no unity in the body. Listen to how Paul links the Lord's Supper with the topic of love and unity. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Paul's saying, we are all one, guys. We are all one. We are one body. We need to love each other and take care of each other. Now, I know that many of us, we treat the Lord's Supper, communion, as something between God and us, right? Just between me and God. That's it, between me and God. But today, our Bible verse is telling us, no, it's not just between you and God. It's between you and everybody, everyone. It's you with you at brothers and sisters. Look at this next slide. Five times in today's passage, when Paul talked about communion, he says, come together, come together, come together, meet together, come together, because this is like family, right? It's not to be taken individually between you and God. No, it's a body. It's the entire body. This is what we do together. Now, I want you to know this concept. Communion, the Lord's Supper, it's a time for the family of God to get together and share a meal together. The family of God. Now, we all know that at home, I don't know about you, but the happiest moment at home for me and my wife is the dinner time. It's the dinner time. When all the kids, and I have five girls, right? And they talk so much. And we gather together, and they're talking, and there's so much talking, and there's so much laughter, and it's the happiest time of the day for me. It's the highlight. But in the same way, it could also be the most awkward time when there's a broken relationship. When people do not get along, oh, that is the most dreadful time because it's so awkward, right? A sister in Christ, she was confiding in me about her family dynamic. She said, oh, it's so frustrating. My children, they're not on talking terms. They don't get along. I said, oh, that must be a lot of tension in the house. Tension. She said, uh-huh. It makes everybody very uncomfortable. I said, yeah, I can only imagine. So I asked her, So what happens during dinner time? What happens during dinner time? You know what she said? This is her exact words. Oh, we no longer have dinner together. Wow. We don't. Our family, we just don't eat together anymore. See, when there's broken relationship, how can you come together to share a meal? And parents here, you would agree with me that when children do not get along, it breaks your heart, doesn't it? It breaks your heart as parents. Now, I want to tell you, I want to remind you, communion is a time for God's children to get together. And you know what God wants to see? Among us, he wants to see love. He wants to see unity. He wants to see harmony in our midst. Because we are his children and we are one family. That's why verse 29 says, anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of Christ, eats and drinks judgment on himself. See, I hope you see that the Heavenly Father, he takes very seriously our relationship with one another, the way we relate to one another. And if there's unforgiveness, if there's jealousy, if there's disharmony, oh, we must come before God. We must ask Him to help us to deal with it. Which leads us to our last point, number four, examine. Communion should not be taken lightly, but with holy reverence. Verse 27, 28. Therefore, whoever eats the body or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. God wants us to take this time of communion, very, very seriously, and treat it like a sacred moment. We're not to come in here with a rebellious attitude, but we must come to make things right with God. It should be an attitude of deep reflection, humble prayer, self-examination as we come, allowing the Spirit of God to do business in our heart. And let the things that are not pleasing to God, let them surface to the top so that we can confess them to the Lord. It's a serious moment. Now, having said that, I just want to say this point. One can take this to the extreme. To the extreme. I've had people who come and talk to me after the communion and said, Pastor, I didn't take communion today because I feel unworthy. I feel unworthy. They disqualify themselves from partaking the Lord's Supper. Now, can we think about that? Can we think about that for a moment? This person is very sincere, right? He says, I'm unworthy. I'm not good enough. But wait, isn't that why we come to the table? Isn't that why we need Jesus? We are sinners in need of grace. That's why we take communion. Communion is for sinners. And today, if you're a sinner, you're welcome. You're welcome. And it's been said that there's two dangers we face whenever we come to the Lord's table. The first danger is, like we talked about, we feel unworthy. We feel so unworthy. We're not worthy for the table. The second danger is when we feel we are worthy. We are good enough. That's dangerous too. The truth is, none of us are worthy. We're all here based on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then what does that mean then? The Bible says, do not come in an unworthy manner. What is it trying to say? What is an unworthy manner? Right here, the Bible is not talking about who we are, but how we come. Let me say that again. It's not talking about who we are, because we are unworthy. We already know that. We will never be good enough for God. We are unworthy. It's not talking about who we are, but it's talking about how we come, how we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. Think about it. When we come to the table with unforgiving hearts, with stubbornness, with the intention to disobey God, that is an unworthy manner. After all, think about it. How can we come before Jesus and say, Jesus, I remember you died for my sins when we are nurturing sin in our heart. How can we come to Jesus and say, I am so grateful for your love for me, and nurture bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts? How can we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know you died for me so that I can live a new life when we have decided to go back to our old ways of living? See, that is the essence of unworthy manner. And the Word of God says, when you do that, you are guilty of sinning against the body of the Lord, and you are bringing judgment on yourself. So may God help us that whenever we come to the table, the Lord's table, that we would come in a spirit of humility, a soft and a tender heart, a heart ready to repent before God, so that we can allow God to renew our soul, to help us live the life, the new life that He has intended for us to live. Amen. Let me say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, so clear, so direct. Lord, help us not to take it for granted, but help us to think about your words as we remember you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
谢谢赵龙。各位弟兄姐妹，今天是五月份的第一个主日，也是我们领圣餐的主日。非常的巧，今天Solomon牧师为我们讲了这个主题，圣餐的主题。你们还记得吗？他刚刚提到这个过程有四个重点，第一个是什么？ 纪念，请问要纪念什么？对，要纪念主耶稣为我们牺牲的身体，也要来纪念主耶稣用血，用他的鲜血给我们所立的新约。第二个重点是什么？表明，有没有记得要表明什么？ 表明说主耶稣已经死了，但是有一天他一定会再来。第三个重点是什么？聚会指的是什么？ 大声一点好吗？聚会就是我们要在主的爱中聚在一起，聚在一起做什么？我们要享受这美好的时刻，我们彼此互相鼓励。第四点，审查，审查是什么？ 我们借着这个每一次的圣餐，或是固定的这个圣餐的聚会，我们来审查自己，我们来反省自己的罪。所以圣餐有四个主要的这个点：第一个是纪念，第二个是表明，第三个是 聚会，第四个是审查。各位，圣餐又称为主的晚餐，从人的角度去看，你们有没有觉得好像圣餐有一点太简单了哈？但是从属灵的角度去看，圣餐是有特别的意义。我们现在念到两段经文好吗？好，上面有两段经文，我们一块念好吗？第一段是约翰福音6章51节，我们一起念：我是从天上降下来的生命之粮，人吃了这个粮就必永远活着。我所赐给的粮就是我的身体，是为了让世人得到新的生命。第二段，哥林多前书11章23到25节，我把从主领受的传给你们，就是主耶稣被出卖的那一天晚上，他拿起饼来感谢上帝后，掰开饼说：这是我的身体，是献给你们的，你们吃这个饼是为了纪念我。同样的，在晚餐后，他又拿起杯来说：这个杯装的是我的血，代表我跟你们所立的新约，你们喝了这一杯也是为了纪念我。所以各位，这个饼是主耶稣的身体，就是主耶稣为我们牺牲的身体。这个杯是什么？这个杯指的是主耶稣的血，主耶稣就是用这个血跟我们立了新约啊。所以领圣餐是不是例行公事？不是例行公事。领圣餐主要的意义是我们要借着这个饼，借着这个杯来纪念主耶稣基督为我们在十字架上流血牺牲。所以主耶稣将自己的身体跟鲜血奉献出来，是要我们借着信靠他来脱离罪恶的辖制，让我们能够得到救赎的恩典，成为一个新造的人，然后我们可以自由自在地享受在基督里一切的美好。所以现在我们就以耶稣基督的跟随者的身份，我们来安静一分钟，默想认罪数算神的恩典。好，谢谢各位。我们现在请服事的同工到前面来，把饼杯传下去好吗？等一下还没有受洗的朋友们，你们暂时就不要领取，我们会为你们另外做一个祷告。